I'm a little astonished that my cousin is like speaking on such a karas hatayv. Like, it was not a very big effort on my part to come from Yerushalayim. My cousin sent a cab, a very nice driver. He drove me here less than half an hour. It's really nothing. This is the first time that actually I'm speaking here in the yeshiva. But I see that I'm an old-time resident here in the yeshiva. I noticed this sefer over here. And I think there's probably lots of other sefarim that you can see my name. So I can feel definitely at home over here. The topic that I chose is about the writing down of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach, says, "Dvorim shebichsav iyata rashai lomram baal peh, and dvorim shebaal peh iyata rashai lomram bichtav." By Matan Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah shebichsav and Torah shebaal peh, and they were meant to stay like that. Torah shebichsav, it's learned from the ktav, mitoch haktav, and Torah shebaal peh is learned baal peh, it's transmitted baal peh from generation to generation, and that was the tzurat halimud, the way it was supposed to be learned forever. However, at one point in history, so little by little, more and more Torah shebaal peh was committed to writing. First, it was the Mishnah, then it's the Gemara, and now there's Sfarim are abounding every single day. Libraries can't even keep up with all that's being published. So, what was the very first, so to say, Torah Shebaal Peh that was written down? Anybody? Before Mishnayos. Huh? No one wants to dare try. In Maseches Tainis, the Mishnah over there says, "Kol haKatuv b'Megilat Ta'anit d'loy l'Misvad." Anything that's written in Megillas Tainis d'loy l'Misvad, that it's a holiday, that you're not supposed to do a eulogy, a hesped. So the Mishnah teaches that it's not only that particular day, l'fanav asur l'achrov mutar. It's also the day before, like Erev Yom Tov. But the day after is Mutar, and Rav Yosi Yomer l'fanav u'l'achrav asur. Both the day before and after. That's if it says in Megillat Tanit, d'lo l'mispat. If it says d'lo l'hit'ana, so then l'fanav u'l'achrav mutar. So, Rashi Shama B'makom, in Maseches Tainis, Rashi says, Megillas Tainis, Nichtava bimei chachamim, af al pi shelo hayu kotvim halachot. Even though when Megillas Tainis was written, so they would not write halachot, it was in the full prohibition stage that nothing baal peh is supposed to be written down in writing. But that was the first thing that was written. And that's why, says Rashi, Hainu diktani, that's why it says in the Mishnah, Kol hakatuv b'Megillas Tainis. And Rashi ends up saying, Ki'ilu haya mikra. As if it was like we're quoting some scripture. Mikra is scripture. Something that's in script, in writing. Who wrote Megillas Tainis? When was it written? The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos in the first parak says that it was Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Garon that he wrote it. Tana Rabbanan, mi katam Megillat Tanit, amru Hananya ben Chizkiah v'siyato, shayu mechabevim et hatzarot. They appreciated all the tzarot. I should first tell you what it is. What is this Megillat Tanit? It's a list of days that were proclaimed to be holidays, Yom Tovim. Of course, they're not Midoraita, it's only Midrabanan. And some of these holidays were on a level that Deloi Lisanah, that you can't fast on that day. And some were proclaimed to be even a holiday of greater importance that you're not allowed to eulogize even. Not only can't you fast on that day, but you can't even do a hesped. So, Chanayim Chizkiah ben Gaon, he lived in the times of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. He's mentioned over there in the first parak of Shabbos in connection with the Yudchet Davar, Yudchet Gzerot, that Beit Shammai was Gozer. So, he compiled a list and wrote it down. This is the first, like, halachot that were written down. He put it into writing. It was like a scroll, a Megillah, Megillat Tanit, a list of all the different days that you're not allowed to fast, and some of them are even more than that. You can't, not only are you not allowed to fast, you're not allowed to eulogize. So, we have actually this Megillah's Tainus nowadays. You can find it in libraries. It has 12 chapters for each one of the months of the year. So, chapter number 11 is Chodesh Shvat. And in Chodesh Shvat, so there's only two holidays that I mentioned. Beit Shvat and Chof Shvat, whatever holiday it was that's commemorating. I just want to now digress a little and tell you a very interesting piece of Ramchal in Derech Hashem. He says that when we annually keep our Yom Tovim, so it's not just a zikaron, to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Once upon a time, at the night of the Seder, Bnei Yisrael left Egypt. No. He says it's more than that. That same Ha'arash Meimit, that heavenly, whatever, light, that emanation, that brought Klal Yisrael out of Egypt at that time, that there was a certain special Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Makas Bechairis did not affect the Yidin, and Paroi succumbed and said to Moshe Benu, Kumu Tzu, Mitoi Chami. So that is renewed every single year annually. And the same thing, let's say, Chag HaShavuos. Every year on Shavuos, says the Ramchal, there's a little Matan Torah going on. There's a Shefa of Torah that's coming down from Shemayim, just like then on Har Sinai. But every single year, that all is mitchadesh, and again, there's like a little Matan Torah. So the Ramchal in Derech Hashem, Chelek Dal Perek Zayin, he says, V'al derech zeh hayu kol yemei Megillat Tanit. That on a certain day, I'm going to mention a few dates and holidays that the Gemara's in different sectors speak about. So, when that day comes, every single year, you're not supposed to fast on that day, you're not supposed to eulogize on that day, because again, whatever hashpa that was then, that some miracle came out, or the Sanhedrin achieved something great, so that is renewed every single year. He says, "Ela shenit batlu." Nowadays we don't have this. We don't keep all these yom tovim. Mipnei shelo hayu yicholim Yisrael lamod b'hem. So nifteru mehayom mihiyot osim zecha lehem. So we're now potter to make this remembrance. V'hit orerut lo hameir, and we don't have to do anything in honor of the hitorut of that all that is Meir on that same day. In other words, even though it's mutter nowadays to fast on all those days of Megillas Tainus, but the all that's mitorer keeps on happening. That doesn't stop. And he says, just like Hanukkah, just like Purim. So on Purim, there was a Mechias Hamalek. So every single year on Purim, there's a Hisorus of Hashgacha, that Klai Yisrael now can overpower Amalek. You have to know how to seize the opportunity, exactly how to do it. But it happens every single year annually. So as I said, I want to give a couple of examples of places where Megillas Tainus is quoted in Shas. I think the most famous quote that the Gemara quotes from Megillas Tainis is in Shabbos, the second Perek. My Chanukah. And the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, B'chofei B'kislev, Yome D'Chanukah T'manya Inun. There's 8 days of Chanukah. D'lo L'mispat B'hon, you're not supposed to eulogize in those days. U'd'lo L'itanot B'hon, and not to fast in those days. שכשנכנסו יוונים להיכל, תימו כל השמנים שבהיכל, וכשגברה מלכות בית חשמונאי וניצחו, בדקו ולא מצאו לפח אחד של שמן שהיה מונח בחותמו של כהן גדול, ולא היה בו אלא להדליק יום אחד, נעשה בו נס, והדליקו ממנו 8 ימים, לשנה אחרת קבעו ועשו ימים טובים, והלל ודעה. Everybody knows this famous quote about Hanukkah. This is actually coming from Megillas Tainis. And I want to point out something very interesting. The opening sentence is in Aramaic. Right? Yomei dechanuka t'manya inun. Delo lemisvat behon u'delo litanot behon. That's the caption, so to say. And then it goes on in Lashon Kodesh, in Hebrew, regular Hebrew, shekeshechasu yivanim laichal, timu kol hashmanim shebeichal, etc. Another quote from Megillas Tainis, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Betlata betishrei, betelat adkarta min shtaraya. On the 3rd of Tishrei, nowadays it's a fast day, it's some Gedalia, Gimel Tishrei, right? But in the times of the 2nd Beis Hamikdash, it was a holiday. You're not allowed to fast on Gimel Tishrei. Why? Betelat adkarta min shtaraya. And the Gemara goes on to quote, "Shegaza malchut Yavan gzera shelo lazkir shem shamayim apiem." When the Greeks were in power, so they had a gzera that, you know, let us say shem shamayim. "Ukishegavra malchut chashmonai v'nitzchom and the chashmonai won hitkinu shiyu mazkirim shem shamayim afilu b'shtarot." They would spell out shem Hashem yud kei vav kei even in the shtarot. V'kach hayu kotvim. בשנת כך וכך, ליוחנן כהן גדול, not י"ק ו"ק, I'm sorry, לקהל עליון, they used to write out א"ל ל"ד, in the star. וכששמעו חכמים בדבר, אמרו, למחר, what's going to happen to this document? This guy, זה פורט חובו, he's going to pay up his debt, whatever the IOU was, ונמצא שטר מוטל באשמה, and then it's going to be thrown in the garbage. So שם שמיים is going to be in the garbage. I guess they didn't have like an efficient Geniza system like they have nowadays. So the Chachamim bitlum, they said not to use Shem Hashem in a shtar. V'oto ayom asu yom tov. So on Gimel Tishrei, like it says, betlata betishrei betelat adkarta min shtaraya. The Chachamim were successful in being mevatel the usage of adkarta. Adkarta is azkarot. Lazkir shem shamayim. They were mevachel. They stopped it. I guess it was something that wasn't so hard, that wasn't so easy. It was pretty difficult that the chashmonoim, in other words, like from the government, they encouraged people to put shem Hashem into shtarot, into civil documents, and the chachamim had to try to uproot it. So finally, I don't know exactly what, which year it was and what happened on that particular Gimel Tishrei, but they succeeded. So they proclaimed it that day as a holiday, as a Yom Tov. That's Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Another Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yutet. Be'esim v'tmanya bay, in the 28th of that month, I think it's talking really about Chodesh Tevet, Atat besuta tavta liyudai. Higia psura tova liyudim. Delo yeidun meoraita. Shelo yasuru meatora. So again, it's all in Aramaic. The opening is in Aramaic. Just like before. Betlata betishe betelat adkarta mishtaraya. So he says that it was psura tavta. Atat leYudai, the lo yidun meoraita. What was the shegaza malchut? It's talking about the Romans. Gzera shelo yasku b'Torah v'shelo yamulu ednehem v'sheichalu shabbatot. Ma asa Yehuda ben Shamua v'chaverav alchu v'natlu etza, whatever, and bo v'ivginu b'alayla alchu v'ivginu b'alayla, etc., etc. until Bitlum. So the Romans gave in and they said that, okay, you can learn Torah, you can keep Shabbos, you can do Milah, but Otah Yom Asu Yom Tov. So that was Be'esim V'tzmanya Be, that the Psul Tatavta came Liyudai, the Lo Yudin Moraita. I'm not going to spend more time quoting other places in Menachos and in Baba Basra, where, again, we see the same type of thing. Tavna ledinana. We returned to the original din. And then it goes on to say, Shayut Zdokim Amrim, the Zdokim said one way, and the Chacham said a different way. And when they finally were victorious and winning out against the Zdokim, so they made that day a holiday. So, what's going on over here? Why is the beginning always starting off with Aramaic, and then it continues on in Lashon Kodesh? So the answer is that there's actually two layers in Megillas Tainus. There's the original Megillas Tainus that was written by Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Dora, like the Gemara Shabbos says. And that was written in Aramaic in the times of the second Beit HaMikdash. And then a Braita, just like in the Mishnayos, there's the Mishnah, there's a Braita that's added. It's material from the Tanaim that was not included in the Mishnah. Left out. Braita means left out. Bara, Bachutz. So in Megillas Tainus also, the original was written in Aramaic. And the Braita, what was added at some later stage, we don't know by who, so that's in Lashon Kodesh. Like most of the Mishnayos and the Braises is always Lashon Kodesh. But the original, what was written in the times of the second Bais, by Hananiah ben Chizkiah, that was written in Aramaic. When the Mishnah that I said earlier quoted in Masechet Tanit refers and says Kol HaKatuv B'Megillat Tanit Delo LeMisvad, so Delo LeMisvad, that's again, it's Aramaic, so that's quoting a Lashon of Masechet Tainus, right? So if it's Delo LeMisvad, so it's more Chomer Lefanav Asa Delo LeTana, so Lefanav Alachav Mutar. So again, you have that Lashon Aramaic Delo LeTana, that the Mishnah is quoting from Megillat Tanit. So here I would like to develop this idea that I heard from my grandfather, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, about this whole era of Bayit Shini. The first question is, why was the vernacular, the spoken tongue, Aramit, not Lashon Kodesh? It's very well understood that when the Yidden were in exile in Galut Bavel, so over there the language was Aramaic, so they started speaking Aramaic. Just like Jews in America are speaking English, Jews in France, they're speaking French. So the Yidden in Bavel, they were speaking Aramaic. But when they came back to the base, to Eretz Yisrael, and the second Beit HaMikdash was built, right? So why didn't they restore Lashon Kodesh as the spoken tongue? Why do they keep on speaking Aramaic? That's one question. Another question about the months. In the Chumash, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Lishon Hu L'Chodshei Hashana, last week's Parsha, Parsha's boy, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, this month of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Lishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana. This is month number one. And throughout Chumash afterwards, right? So the months don't have names. They're numbered. B'chodesh ha-shvi, b'chod l'chodesh, yom t'ruah yeh lachem. Right? It doesn't say Aleph b'tishrei. It says b'chodesh ha-shvi, month number 7, that's Tishrei. When you're counting from this and this and this, number 1, and all the months they follow. Megillas Esther, which is from the period of Galut Babel, so there keeps on saying, "Ubachodesh name also who chodesh Adar," right? Or "Vatilakach Esther," בחודש השביעי הוא חודש טבת. Over there, Kishan saying the month, which number month it is according to our numbers that we start from Nissan, not from January. And it also gives the name, which is, what are these names? Nissan, Iyar, Sivan, Tish. These names are coming from Babel. They're basically Goyisha names. And the Ramban in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Boy, he quotes, I think it's Yerushalmi, that says that Shmot HaChodashim He'elu MiBavel. All these names, listen, they came from Babel. In other words, they're not originally our names for the months. They were adapted, they were taken from Babel. So Ramban explains that just like Zechel Yitziat Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, to count the months from Nisan, because that's the month that Chodesh HaGeula, so that we honor as being month number one. So Zecher LeGeula Mi Galut Bavel. So we use the names of the months that were used in Babel. It's like to remind us that we were once upon a time in Babel. This is what Ramban says. But my grandfather had a very big problem with this pshat. Because Tammuz is actually a name of an Avodah Zarah. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel that talks about this Avodah Zarah of Tammuz. I think it's Perichet, Yecheskel. And my grandfather felt that it's very difficult because it says, B'shem Elohim Achirim Lo Yishama Apicha. You're not supposed to... Right? People don't even want to say... the name of Oysi Aish, right? They have all kinds of nicknames for him, Yashke, or other nicknames, right? They don't even want to say his name, right? Because Shemus Avodah Zarah, we don't want to say, right? People say Xmas, right? Shemalim Achirim Lo Tazkiru Lo Yishama Alpicha. So my grandfather actually said, Kaniret, it's just the opposite. That they kept on calling the months by their Goyisha names, because they still felt that they're in Galut, that they were not yet redeemed from the Galut Bavel. And that's the reason why they kept on speaking Aramit. And that's the reason why they did not appoint a Melech. It's a Mrs. Essay. V'yokisub ha'olores. V'amah tosim alai Melech, soim tosim alecha Melech, v'kerev achecha tosim alecha Melech. It's a mitzvah of being Meman and Melech. So what, they couldn't find anybody from Beis David to appoint as a melech. You have later on Hillel Bavli. He came from Babel. And he came to Eretz Yisrael, right? And he was appointed as the Nasi. He was from the dynasty he was a descendant of David HaMelech, somehow or another. I don't know exactly how, but I guess he must have had a yichus, right? So they could have brought somebody from Hillel was really... the last 100 years of Beis HaMikdash by Sheni, but they could have a few hundred years earlier found someone from the Mishpacha and brought him to Eretz Yisrael and make him a Melech. What's the problem? Maybe in the beginning they didn't want to make a Melech because they were under the Persians, right? But once they actually became free, so who actually did become a Melech? The Chashmonaim. They appointed themselves as kings, right? So that's the Ramban in Parshas Vayechira. He has a whole long talk about it, that it was Lo Beseda, because Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda Umuchokek Mi Ben Raglav, that the Malchus belongs to Yehuda, not to Kehanim, since we're not Kehanim, supposed to be Malachim. They have a different job in Klal Yisrael, not to be the kings. In any event, and another very, very strong point, my grandfather said that the Beis HaMikdash that they built, the second Beis HaMikdash, so Yechezkel HaNovi, during the period of Galut Bavel, he had Nevuos exactly with precise instructions how to build the next, so to say, the next Beis HaMikdash. From Perek Mem onwards in Yechezkel, it's all about the what we call the Bayit Shlishi. But the question is, why didn't they build that Beis HaMikdash? Yechezkel has a whole long Nevuah. That here's the way the next Beis HaMikdash is supposed to look, And then when they have the opportunity, and they come back to Esau, and they want to build the Beis HaMikdash, so they don't use the Beis HaMikdash that Yechezkel describes. Instead, they made something else. What's the pshat? The answer is, they very well knew that this Beis HaMikdash that they're building is a temporary Beis HaMikdash. And it's not the Gula Shlema yet. And that's why B'davka they didn't appoint somebody from Malchus Beis David to be a king. They left it open. Because it was still a period of galus. Ah, so you're going to ask me, so what was the whole point of coming back to Yisrael and building a temporary Beis HaMikdash? So that my grandfather explained that there was terrible, terrible assimilation going on in Bavel. And I can give you a very simple description. Who were Matakan Tfilois? Anshik Metzak Doyla. So that's the beginning of Bayis Sheni. So in Bavel, there were no davenings, there were no shuls, there were no minyanim. Ezra Tikin Kriyas HaTorah. Again, that's Bayis Sheni, right? Muktzah on Shabbos. Nehemiah ben Chachalio. Gzeiras Kalim of Nehemiah, right? So basically, what were Jews doing in Bavel all day long Shabbos? They probably stood in the store to write down if somebody owes you money. So that's the Issa D'Raisa. That's one of the Lama Tes Malachas. Kaysev. But if you're not going to sell on credit, you're going to sell COD, cash on delivery. So that's Mutter. With D'Raisa, there's no problem. So you have your store open on Shabbos, right? And you sell for money. Money was not Muktzah yet, right? There was no Issus Shvus of Mekach Umemka yet. That was all Zeros of Bayis Sheni. And you don't go to Shul because anyhow there's no davening really. There's no Kriyas HaTorah yet. No. So how long can Klai Yisrael last without Shabbos the way we know Shabbos? And then of course that led to intermarriage. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bring back a portion of Klai Yisrael. The majority stayed in Chutzlars. They didn't come back. Back. Ever since then, Rebbe of Klai Yisrael has stayed in Chutzlars. Since Galut Bayit Rishon, the majority of the Jewish people have been in Chutzlars. During the whole second Beit HaMikdash, when there were, I don't know how many millions of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, but the Rebbe still, the majority were still in Chutzlars. Mary Amenu was still going to reach the point when the Rav of Am Yisrael is going to be here in Eretz Yisrael. Mary Amenu, Amen. But so far, we still haven't reached that. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought back the actual number that it says in Sefer Ezra is 42,360 people made Aliyah in Bayit Sheni. That was the big, big wave of Jewish immigrants in the beginning of Bayis Sheni. 42,000 people, 360. And there's a list of like the families. In Sefer Ezra Nehemiah, it's broken down. This family, whatever, how many dozens. This family, how many dozens. This family, this family, this family. And the sum total is 42,360. So, they came back to Eretz Yisrael. They built a temporary Beis HaMikdash. They had a Lishkas HaGazis. Sanhedrin Gdoila, they convened the Anshik Nesach Gdoila, and they revolutionized all of Yiddishkeit, basically. They were metaken all the Gzeiros Rabbanon, they were metaken Tfilos, they were metaken Kriyas HaTorah. They gave the Tzura of a Frum Yid, the way we know it nowadays, they gave it then. And it was really in order that Klai Yisrael can last through 2,000 years of Golos and survive. Because that's what kept us. If not for everything that they were mitaken then, we wouldn't have survived. As the 70 years in Golos Bavel proved that the assimilation rate was totally out of control. Okay, so so this is Yisod number one. That the era of Bayit Sheni was actually an era of Golos. Okay, now let's get back to our main theme. That Torah Shebal Peh slowly the very first thing that was written, as we saw, was Megillas Tainis. And then, slowly, they wrote more and more, Shnayas, Gemara, etc., etc. What is the allowance? How do you matter an Isser? He said, Dvorim Shebal Peh, I Atar Hashay LeKotvam. You're not supposed to write them down. So, how would they matter such an Isser? The answer is, Et La'asot La'Hashem, Heferu Torotecha. The Pasuk can tell him that it becomes a time when Torah is in distress, it can be lost. So Heferu Torotecha. So sometimes you have to nullify certain laws in the Torah in order to save the Torah. So since the Torah was about to be forgotten, in order to save it, so they had to put it into writing. So I want to now Klera Chira. How do you say in English Klera? You people use this? The Klera Chira, right? To raise a doubt. What's my Chakira? When we now open a Gemara Bava Kama and start learning, right? Abba Vasazik, Shara Bar Mava Heva, right? So are we now again, look, really, we should not be saying this from a printed Gemara, right? We should be saying it all Baal Peh. We're citing everything from memory. But Eisas Hashem, Efer Ta'atecha, like, you know, we're not going to get anywhere. Maybe we're going to remember the first three lines of the Mishnah, and then we're going to be, you know, we're going to stop, we're going to conk out. Yeah? So, no, Efer Ta'atecha. So, every extra line that we read from a printed page of Gemara, so we're being over this. But we have no choice, because otherwise we're not going to learn. It'll all be forgotten. That's one side. The other side is no. The Chachamim, that they changed that form of Torah Shebal Peh, that instead of it being in the form of Baal Peh, and they put it into writing, they were over on the Isser of Dvorim Shebal Peh Yatar Shai LeKotvam. But after already it was committed to writing and put into a written form, so now the way I'm learning it, I'm not being over on any Isser anymore. They're the ones that, when they changed that Surat HaTorah, turning it from something from Baal Peh into a fixed text, making it like into Torah Shebichtav, so to say, they were over on that Isser. And they had Rishus. So they had permission to be over, to Hefer Teresecha. But once already it was done, so now, when I'm learning from this text, right, I'm not being over any Issa whatsoever. Because that Torah that was Baal Peh was already changed. It now has the Tzurah of Torah Shebichtav. See, here the two Tzadim of Machkira. I would like to believe, like the second Tzad, because I can feel much better that I'm not being over on an Issa every single time I open up a Gemara. Like all my learning is b'di'evet. No, I have no choice. I'm not going to learn, so I have to be over and learn Dvar Shebal Peh b'chsav. No, I'd like to feel good with myself that I'm not being over any Isser. It was the Chacham then. They were over any Isser, and now already I'm doing fine. I would like to believe like that. And I want to try to bring the sources for that. So first of all, when I first started speaking, I said the Lashon of Rashi in Maseches Taimis, when Rashi explains why it says in the Mishnah Kol HaKatuv B'Megillas Taimis. So Rashi says, Af al pi shelo hayu kotvim halachot, but they wrote it. So Hainu Diktani Kol HaKatuv B'Megillas Taimis Ki'ilu Hoya Mikro. Rashi says, Ki'ilu Hoya Mikro. So I want to see in these words that, yeah, once already it was written down, so it becomes like a text, and now you're quoting, so to say, like a pasuk. It's Gilu Hu Mikra, so the Mishnah is not quoting. It says, Megillas Tainis, the Loli Tana, the pshat of that is this and this and that, right? If this approach is the right approach, then I would like to go a step further. In Torah Shebichtav, there's many different levels. Pshat, Drash, Remez, Sod, Pardes. Familiar with Rosh HaTevis Pardes, right? Pshat, Remez, Drash, Sod. Different levels. Let's now go back to a period when Torah Shebaal Peh was strictly Baal Peh, right? So, was it multi-leveled? You know, it was in a text, in a pasuk, right? So I can darshan. Why does it say an extra word, right? An extra phrase. But if it's Baal Peh, so there's no, it's fluid. There's no like fixed wording how you're supposed to say it. Each Rav transmitted orally. He taught his Talmidim, right? So he said it in his, with the way he expressed himself, right? And if he saw that the Talmud was a little bewildered, so he said it over, maybe with more words to explain it better, right? But there's no like fixed wording exactly. But if something is committed to writing and it's a fixed text, so then you can start looking for why was it written like this? There's an extra word. So that calls for a drash. And I want to give you an example. This is a classic example in my eyes. The first Mishnah in Baba Metzia. Everyone knows that Mishnah. Shteimach Zimitalis. Zayim Ani Mitzasiyah. V'zayim Ani Mitzatiyah. Zayim Akula Shali. V'zayim Akula Shali. Zayi Shav Hashem V'pachas Mechetzia. V'zayi Shav Hashem V'pachas Mechetzia. V'yachleiku. Zayim Akula Shali. V'zayim Akula Shali. זה ישוב שאין לו בפרס משלי שוביים, וזה ישוב שאין לו בפרס מביאה, יח לא יקרה. Everyone knows that Mishnah. The Gemara, on the spot, is, why does it say, שני מרסים בטלס, זה אם אני מצסיה, זה אם אני מצסיה, זה אם הכול שלי, זה אם הכול שלי. Isn't that just repeating itself? Basically, when you say, if I say, I found it, right? So, this was mine. Right? And if you say, no, I found it, so you're saying, no, it's mine. So why don't you say Zayim Ani Mitzatiyah, Zayim Ani Mitzatiyah, Zayim Akulashli, Zayim Akulashli? And the Gemara goes back and forth, until the Gemara says that the Mishnah is really alluding and hinting to two different cases. B'Metziah and B'Mekah Chomemka. Chodah B'Metziah, B'Chodah B'Mekah Chomemka. Then the Gemara says, if it's B'Mekah Chomemka, that means that there are two people in a store, and they're fighting who bought, right? So the Gemara says, so who paid? The Gemara says, oh no, they gave both. And the storekeeper doesn't remember who gave first, like, you know, willingly, and who like just pushed the money into his hand. That's how the Gemara makes up. So this is all because it says, Z'amani Mitzatiyah, V'z'amani Mitzatiyah, so that's going on Mitzia. And then, Z'amakulashi, that's not talking about a Mitzia that they found out in the street. That's really going in the store, it's a different case. And they're fighting about who bought it. That's how the Gemara explains the Mishnah. So in the Tiferet Yisrael on the Mishnayis, he brings down from Reb Menashe Ilya. Reb Menashe Ilya was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. And Reb Menashe Ilya says, I have a very nice, simple Pashut Pshat in the Mishnah. He says like this. Shnayim Marzim Talis. Two people are holding on to a talis. They come into court. Tugging on a talis. This guy says, I found it. The other guy says, no, I found it. Okay. Now, what are their claims? How much does each one say belongs to him? So it depends. A, if it's Zayim Akulashli and Zayim Akulashli, so then the din is that he swears Shein L'Bapachas Mechetzia, and he swears Shein L'Bapachas Mechetzia. But B, case two, if it's Zayim Akulashli and Zayim Akulashli, so then the din changes that he makes a shvuah on three quarters and he makes a shvuah on a quarter, and that's how they split it. So the Tiferes Yisrael says, basically according to this pshat in the Mishnah, there's no extra words, everything fits in very nice, it's very smooth. It's like a kash on the Gemara. What's the Gemara getting carried away? The Mishnah is very reasonable, it's very nicely structured. Zayim Tzitzia, that's the story. And then Zavakulashi, those are the claims that they're putting into court, what they're petitioning about. So I say, it's not a question on the Gemara. The Mishnah, like any pasuk in Chumash, is now multi-leveled. It has pshat, and it has drash. Rav Menashe Ilya is speaking about the pshat of the Mishnah. In the pshut Eishal Nikra, there could be some like extra words or phrases. Azayv Tazayv Imoy. So, Dibra Torah, Kolashim Ne'adam. It can pass. But still, the Torah could have minced words. I made it a little shorter. Oh, so you make a drasha. Azayv Tazayv Afilu Me'apam. But the drasha is not coming to negate the pshat. And the pshat is not coming to negate the drash. It's just two different levels. Same thing with the first Mishnah in Bar Metzia. Rav Menashe, he's right. In the pshat level of the Mishnah, so, Zayim Akulishli, that's already the taina that he's saying in court. And it's not repeating the Zayim Ritzasiyah. It's part of the continuation of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah later is going to change the claims and Zayim Akulishli, Zayim Akulishli. So first the Mishnah starts off, Zayim Akulishli, Zayim Akulishli. But the Gemara nevertheless says we have to dash in the Mishnah, because if the Mishnah would have omitted that whole line, Zemekulishli, Zemekulishli, and the Mishnah would have went straight from Zemekulishli, 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 I would have understood exactly what's going on. I wouldn't have made any mistakes. The Mishnah doesn't have to put in that, so to say, extra line. Says the drash of the Mishnah, that's really where the Gemara is coming from. The Gemara is darshening the Mishnah. That drasha is coming to tell me another case. It's not explicit in the Mishnah. The case of Mekach HaMemka is darshened from the Mishnah. Now I'll give you an example from Masechus Bava Kamma. The Gemara in Daf Yud Amud Beis says, Chavti b'tashlumei nezek. Right? And the Gemara explains, what does it mean, tashlumei nezek? Melamed? No, guys, Baba Kama. Shahabailim? Metaplim and Avela. Because it says that I have to pay the tashlum of the nezek, meaning I have to fill the gap of the nezek, meaning there is something left from the nevela, and I have to fill that gap. That's tashlumin. It doesn't say chavti benezek, I owe the nezek. No, I have to fill in the tashlumei nezek. So that same Gemara is quoted in Maseches Ksubas, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, and Rashi, he says that the Braisa that learns from this Lashon of the Mishnah, tashlumei nezek, melamed shabbat, he says, Tana de Braisa, Dorish Lishna de Masnisen. Rashi says that the Braisa, he's Dorish, he's darshaning the Lashon of the Mishnah. In other words, in the Pshat level of the Mishnah, yeah, you have to, you now owe Tashlumei Nezek, the payments of Nezek. Does that sound like something like off the wall, strange? No, it sounds pretty normal. I mean, there's a Mishnah, Shum Kesef, Shavu Kesef, Bifnei Eden, that's like a telegram, okay? But when you say Chavti b'tashlumei nezek, that sounds normal. That's understandable. It's nothing like cryptic about it. Here, says Rashi, so what's how do you derive from here the halacha b'ilum? Oh, it's because of we're darshaning, because there's an extra word in the Mishnah. The extra word, the Mishnah could have been understood. The Mishnah could have expressed itself with one word less. Oh, so if so, you can darshan that word that's teaching an extra halacha. So there's pshat, and there's drash in the Mishnah. And I'll go even a step further. You sometimes have that the Gemara says, chasuri mechasra, lachiktani. Right? So it says from the Arizal and from the Gra that Chas v'shalom doesn't mean that the Mishnah, the way we have it nowadays, is missing words. Like what, it's a typo or something? The printer, the proofreader skipped a line? No. Avada, the Mishnah has a pshat the way it reads, but the Gemara rewrites it and re-edits the Mishnah. Yeah? So I want to say, what they mean is, just like in Tanakh, there's places where, like in Megillas Rus, that there's a word or two that karyon delo ktivam. That's what the Gemara Nedarim, the Flam Zayin calls it. You read those words, even though they're not written in the text. You're supposed to hear those words ba'al peh. That's what the Gemara means when the Gemara says chesur mechasav achik tani. It doesn't mean rewrite the Mishnah. No, no. The way the Mishnah is written, says the Arizal and the Gra, it means what it's. There is meaning to it on a pshat level, right? You can read it the way it's written, and you can understand it. But for all practical halachic purposes, you have to add in some words baal peh to the Mishnah, karyon deloy ksivan, and that's the way we pass the halacha. As a matter of fact, Tosis in Perakira and Shabbos, he says that the Gemara over there makes a whole chesur mechasav achiktani on the Mishnah, so that the Mishnah should come out like Chananya, says Tosis, because we pass like Chananya. That's what the real Gemara is up. That's what the Gemara has up its sleeve, so to say. In other words, the Mishnah, the way it's written, can be understood the way really Chachamim. But we have a Chesur Mechaster because we want to pass like a different opinion, like Chananya. So we're now like kind of like pushing Chananya's opinion into the Mishnah. But it doesn't really say that in the Mishnah. He's supposed to add extra words, Baal Peh. That's what I hold. The Chesur Mechaster Mektani means add those Baal Peh. It's a kind of like Simon. And converse, when the Gemara says, Sami Mikan, literally cross out from here, it doesn't mean, in all our printed Mishnayos, you'll find those words inside. Even though the Gemara said take them out. So what is it? It's a ksivan deloy karyon. In Tanakh we find places where there's a word, you skip the word, you don't say that word. What about when the Gemara says hachiktani? That's a simple kriyu ksiv on the Mishnah. Like there's all over in Tanakh. Kriyu ksiv? It says the spelling one way, and you pronounce it a little slightly different. It's that the Gemara does all the time with the Mishnah. Hachiktani, hachiktani. Change the word here, change the letter there, or something, whatever. Now I'll ask you another question. You have pshat, drash, you have remez, and chumash, you have all kinds of gematrias, you have some kinds of like drushes, if the word is written balei or it's chasa, right? For instance, by bar, there's a very famous vod from the Vilna Gaon on the pasuk v'chi yiftach ish bar o ki yichre ish bar v'lo yichasenu. So the first time it says bar, it says with a vav malei. That's talking about someone that opens up a bar. The second time, ki chreish, well, when a person digs the bar, it says bar without a vav, bet reish. Says the Vilna Gaon that opening up a bar, so it has to be a full bar, it has to be the whole 10 tefachim. But digging a bar, it could even be a bar that's lacking a vav, a slight bar. How? If it was already 9 tefachim deep, and a guy came and dug the last 10th tefach, he becomes chayiv. So that the Vilna Gaon sees in the pasuk, because up here it's bar mali and here it's bar chasa, right? Let me ask you something. When the Torah was Torah Shebaal Peh, is it possible to say mali, chasa? Of course not. When I say the word bar, did I say bar mali or bar chasa? Does anyone see the oisius coming out of my mouth? B'dvar Hashem, Shamayim Nasu, right? Does anyone see these oysters coming out? You see like Bey's Vav Rage coming out of my mouth or Bey's Rage? I don't know myself. So of course it's not Chayach. But once it's written already, if it's ready B'chsav, oh, so now already we can, if we're careful, and we know that here it's supposed to be written this way, Malay, and here it's supposed to be written this way, Chosr, we can start dashing all kinds of drushes, so to say, from the Mishnah. And lo and behold, there's a Vilna Gaon that says on the very first Mishnah of Baba Kama that Shor, Bor, Mave, and Hever is connected the four different types of Yetzirah. Shor is the Kaas, Bor is Leitzanus, Mave Shein is Taiva, and Hever, Eish is Gaiva. This fire rises up, that's Gaiva. And the Shor, the goring axe, that's Kamanos El Hazik, that's Koyes. Right? Someone that's Meshabe Kalim Kaasa is Kilo Eber of Elizar. So the Vilna Gaon says that Kol Hanoida Kilu Bona Bama Vamakaimai Kilu Hikrivale. So he says that the Bama, that's the three Yetzaharas, the three Midos Rois of Bor, Mave, and Hever, right? And the Shor is the carbon that you makriv on it. The Kaas, right? That's like the, so to say, the Sitra Achra sitting on top of his throne, on top of that Bama. And he goes further. In Pashas Matos, it speaks to you about all the different cities in Eva HaYarden that were conquered by the Bnei God of Bnei Ruvain. And it says there that Musabos shame that they renamed those cities Atorais, V'divain, Cheshbon, Elolei. And it says over there V'es Sivma. It says they're going Sivma, that's Shor, Bor, Mave, Hever. If you were wondering, why does the Mishnah say Mave? A strange term, like anything. Say Shane, say Adam, like Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara, right? What are they? No one knows what Mave means. It's such a strange, odd word. Shane or Adam, right? So if it means Shane, why did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi just write Shane? If he meant Shane, write Shane. If you mean Adam, write Adam. What do you concoct such a weird word, Mave? Right? The answer is, it's so that the Goyim can say his word. And that's only when you have a written Mishnah with words. When it was Torah Shebaal Peh, each Rebbe taught his Talmud. He said Shane, or he said Adam, I don't know what he said, right? But when Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi wrote it down as a fixed certain text, so now already he used words that you can already put together as a Rosh HaTeves, Shor, Bor, Mave, Hever, Sivma, says the Vilna Gaon. Because that city was not Musabos Shem. Look at the other pasuk carefully in Matos. It says like a long list of cities. Musabos Shem, V'es Sivma, says the Vilna Gaon. That city, they were not able to be Misakin. Because that was the Koichos Hara themselves. The Arba of Isnazikin. So this is all fitting into what I was saying, that once Chazal changed a certain form of the special form of Torah Shebaal Peh from its form of Baal Peh and put it into writing, so once they put it into writing and they made a certain fixed text out of it, so this text now can be dealt with just like a text of a pasuk, that we can count the letters, we can make Rosh HaTevis on the letters, we can darshan extra words, etc., etc. I can give you another example, it's getting late, another example in the beginning of Ketzad HaRegel. If you remember, the Gemara over there says, Ketzad HaRegel, I have the one here in front of me. Ketzad HaRegel, Mu'ed Lalich, Mu'ed Eslashav Evderech Hilucha, Habehem Mu'ed Eslalich Kedarka. So the Gemara here says that one is Behema and one is Chaya. Ketzad HaRegel, right? It's clearly like a drusha. Because, like Tosaf here says, that the Lashon Ketzad HaRegel Medez HaShabbat of Derech Hilucha, that's coming from the Mishnah in the first Perek. When the Mishnah here says, Chamisha Taim and Chamisha Muadim. So the Mishnah here says, Hashein Muedet Lecholet HaRa'ila, HaRegel Muedet Lishbo B'Derech Hilucha. So now the Perek starts with Ketzad HaRegel Medez HaShabbat of Derech Hilucha, quoting that earlier Mishnah. And the Mishnah answers, HaBeima Muedet Alech Kedarka. That's how Tosfos learns. So what's so strange and what's odd about this? Ketzad that halacha that was stated in the first parak, how is that understood? So the understanding is that Rabbeinu, where does halacha kedarka? But the Gemara is dissatisfied with that. The Gemara starts what I would call darshaning the Mishnah, not learning pshat in the Mishnah. Pshat in the Mishnah is pashat. But the Gemara is darshaning the Mishnah. Hayne regel, hayne behema. And the Gemara says, Tana Ava is Tani Tala. And then the Gemara does the same thing about Shane. And the Gemara says, one is Chaya, one is Behema, right? It's all because the Mishnah could have cut down on the words. And because the Mishnah could cut down on the words, and it didn't. So now we're darshaning the Mishnah. That's what the Gemara is really after over here. So you have to now always, when you're learning Gemara, it's no nafkina halacha whatsoever. It's just for a good Thursday night shiur. Halacha l'maaseh, there's no nafkina whatever. If the Gemara is saying pshat in the Mishnah or the Gemara is darshaning the Mishnah, there's no nafkina. Whatever the Gemara is going to say, that's the halacha anyhow, right? But it's always nice to know, like, on what level are we dealing with? Are we dealing on a pshat level of the Mishnah? Is the Mishnah really satisfactory the way it's written? Or, no, it's unsatisfactory, and on a pshat level the Mishnah needs basic understanding. So you have to know that sometimes what the Gemara is really doing is not on a pshat level. The Mishnah is satisfactory. The Gemara is just trying to dash in the Mishnah because there's extra phrases and wordings in the Mishnah that can be cut down, and the reason why it's written is to dash. I was saying before that Bayit Sheni was a tkufa of Golos. There's a famous Medrash Tanchuma that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Rabbeinu Shlomo that the Mishnah should Shetaya Mishnah Afhi Bechsav. The Mishnah should also be Bechsav. Basically, I don't know if that means that there shouldn't be any Teresh Baal Peh, or a large portion of Teresh Baal Peh should have initially also been part of Teresh Baal Chsav. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Tzofa Kadosh Baruch Hu, Sha'uma is asidim l'targim es ha-Torah, v'liya is koirim oisa yevanis, v'hein oirim anu hein shal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, there's going to be a time when the goyim, they're going to translate. They're making an art scroll. Of the Torah, right? Now the Gemara, the Medrash is really talking about Yevanis, the Greeks, and the Greeks are going to say, we have the Torah just like the Jews. Yeah, it's very nice literature. It's beautiful stories, etc. So the Greeks are going to say, we're Yisrael just as much as they are. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let me leave at least the Torah Baal Peh, the Mishnayis Baal Peh, so that the Goyim are not going to be able to think that they're taking it for themselves. But what do we see here? We see that the Torah Shebichsav during Bayis Sheni was taken into captivity, so to say. It went into Golos. Malka v'sareha bagoyim en Torah. Pasukineicha. When Am Yisrael is in Golos, the Torah is also in Golos. And the tkufa of Bayis Sheni was the tkufa of Golos, like I was saying before. And the biggest raya that it was the tkufa of Golos, I didn't say before, was that in the base of Middash that they built, there was no Arun. There was no Aron Edut. There were no Luchais. And there was no Sefer Torah Shebichsav. The Torah Shebichsav that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote was missing from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I can imagine the faces of the Romans when they finally conquered, after weeks of battle, from Shivasa Batamas, 3 weeks, bloody door-to-door battles, conquering Yerushalayim, and finally they break into the Beis Hamikdash on Zion Av, and then they get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they find an empty room with nothing in it. I'm sure that those Romans, those pagan Romans, were shocked out of their pants. Like, you know, so what is it that the Jews worship? There's nothing here. Right? There was no Arayim, there was no Luchas, there was no Sefer Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to write. And put it, V'samta Moshe B'tzad Arayim, L'koyach HaSefer Torah Hazeh V'samta Moshe B'tzad Arayim. It was not there during Bayis Sheni. The Torah Shebichsav, the Torah was not there. It was in Golos. What Kli was in Bayis Sheni? And at one point, the Goyim defiled it, and then it was restored. And there's a whole holiday about that Kli, a special Kli in the Beis HaMikdash. It was the Menorah. The Menorah always represented Torah Shebaal Peh. Or Kineh Mitzvah, the Torah, or. So the light of the Menorah, that was, there was the, in the first Beis HaMikdash, there was an Arayin. The Arayin was Torah. That's what the Arayin symbolizes. So what's the Menorah? Symbolizing Chachma, besides Torah? Torah Shebaal Peh. But in the second Beis HaMikdash, when the Arayin was taken away, so the Menorah had to fulfill a dual purpose. It had to fulfill the purpose of the original Torah Shebaal Peh, but it also, in a way, took the place. The Arayin is called Arayin Ha'edus. The Menorah, says the Gemara, is also an Edus Hilachem. I don't remember if the Lashon of a Pasuk is that the Pasuk calls the Menorah an Edus. But at least Chazal for sure in the Gemara Shabbos speaks about the Menorah being an Edus. It took the place of the Arayin. Like I was saying, that the Torah Shebaal Peh, it became also like a Torah Shebichsav. Nowadays we can't darshan psukim; we're very far removed. The Torah has Yud Gimel Midos, right? You can't darshan nowadays a Gzeirah Shavah. You have to have a Kabbalah Misinai, right? You can't just make up a Gzeirah Shavah, right? But we can darshan the Gemara, we can darshan the Mishnayos, we can learn it once and twice and three times and get another meaning and a deeper meaning and another deeper meaning from every single letter and every single ice of the Torah Shebaal Peh. You can take the...